65 days a year.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFond, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And today we have four ladies from Girls Inc., both from Girls Inc. Carpinteria and National Girls Inc. This is going to be a very big show. We're going to have national exposure now. I'm really nervous because I have some important people here today. We have, firstly, Victoria Juarez, who is the executive director of Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, and Jessica Wetzel, the program director. And we have Charlene Jackson, who is the Girls Inc. National Director, who has just about everyone working for her, except for one person who she works for, who hopefully will be listening, and Veronica Escobedo, the Regional Director. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Thank you.
So I just found out that Girls Inc. Goes back to 1864, and I must say, you guys look terrific. you guys founded it, is that correct, in 1864? No. Girls Inc. is a great institution. We, as you know, have had Girls Inc. From Santa Barbara on a couple of times. And I know Carpinteria is so far away from us that we need two. Why do we have two?
You know, it really comes down to just the geographic region. So Carpinteria, our affiliate, serves Carpinteria Valley and Ventura County. So we are in Oxnard, Santa Paula, and we're looking to do more in Fillmore. But simply just comes down to the territory.
And Girls Inc. is, it was back in, I guess, 1971, the theme or the mission statement said that, to help girls become good wives, mothers, homemakers, and citizens. Now, if you would have said that today, you'd be thrown out the door. The world has changed. So what is the mission now? What are we doing to help girls be all they can be?
So our mission is to inspire all girls to be strong, to be smart, and to be bold. And I don't know that you would be thrown out today if you read that. And I think what's important to know is that Girls Inc. meets girls and families where they are. So certainly when we were first created in 1871, the focus was to do what you've just read. What's neat about Girls Inc. National and our local affiliates is that we really respond to the needs of the girls and the times. And so maybe 20 or 25 years from now, Girls Inc. may look a bit different. But I do want to stress that our goal is to meet girls where they are. And so if that means you want to be a scientist, great. You want to be a teacher, awesome. You want to be a mom, right on. You know, our job is to support you, to provide resources, and to ensure that you're going to get from point A to point B.
I wasn't going to ask this question, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but I couldn't help it because you mentioned it twice, deal with girls where they are. What if a girl wants to be a boy? How are you dealing with trans issues?
We do have a position statement on that, and we accept and embrace anyone who identifies as a girl. And so that means a lot of things for a lot of different people. But if you identify as a girl, it really we don't look at biology from that perspective or, you know, anything like that. We're serving anyone who identifies as a girl.
And the mission is to help girls. But going back to what I said before about whether or not the mission statement from a while ago would be acceptable today, what about the fact that we look at the country, and you know, why should it be just girls? I mean, is and I know when I was, my kids who are grown now, when we were sending them to school, there was a big debate. Should you send your kids to an all-girls school or you send your kids to a co-ed school? I guess there are pros and cons. So why are we staying with Girls Inc. and only having girls?
Sure. Thank you for that question. We think that it's as important as it was in 1864 as it is today that girls have very unique needs, and our programming really is equipped to be intentional to identify the areas that girls still need support. So we talk a lot nowadays about the STEM programming. Really, when Girls Inc. took a position on STEM programming, it was 25 years ago because we recognized that there was a gap in women going into these fields. So fast forward to today, we still see those issues in some of our under-resourced communities and some of our communities of color. So we feel that our work is just as important now as it was back then.
And your view of helping all girls includes people that don't have the money to pay a tuition. Is there a tuition? Is there a transportation fee? What if I don't have any money at all? Can I send my daughter?
I think it's we really do serve all girls, and our programs are accessible to all girls. Some programs are free of charge, depending on the program you're talking about. But we don't turn anyone away. Even for our after school programs and our child care programs, we do offer scholarships that allow people to access those services just like anybody else would. And so we do really mean when we say all girls, all girls. And I wanted to touch on one thing that Veronica said, just back to the gender-specific programming. We know that we can meet the needs of girls where they are, but we also recognize that it's about gender-specific programming. We know that boys do have needs that they need met and that they should be addressed in a setting with other individuals who identify as boys. So I do think that's equally important. And we see their needs changing, and we see all that going on, and we want to provide girls with that experience here. But gender-specific programming is important.
And sometimes what happens is, obviously, if we work a lot in schools, they may want us, they ask the question, what can you do for boys? And so if you look at bullying, obviously both girls and boys need to be taught about bullying. And so some of the things that we've done is we will maybe do the girls and then find someone else to that will actually take care of those classes or workshops for the young men that are in the schools so that they also get the training that they need.
And this is a very different place than, let's say, San Francisco. We have, I think, almost half the population here is Hispanic. So do you have multi-language people that can deal with that issue?
Yeah, the majority of our staff is bilingual, and we really try to create an inclusive environment in which all of our signage, all of our program documents, when you walk through the door, can be accessed in both Spanish and English, because we serve all girls, and we also serve their families, and their families do need to be included in the process. And so we really do try to make sure we have a bilingual environment across the board.
And Charlene, you have the benefit of looking at the entire country. The country today is split along every kind of line. You know, there's like different species running around. I don't understand what's going on. But is there that kind of schizophrenia going on with girls or girls? Or do you have to tailor make your program?
Girls are still girls, regardless of the political environment or the landscape that's out there. Obviously, some of the things, what we do try to work with our girls are in real life, and, you know, it's real life. It's not, we don't just make up programs. And they obviously have access to social media. They have access to TVs and things like that. So we do find, depending on what part of the country it is, that you will find, you will find things that happen that we have to then maybe do some additional counseling or training for the girls. But, you know, they read about it. And one of the things that we do is we've taken a stand on, particularly with what's going on now, on advocacy and letting the girls be involved in the advocacy process such that they can express their feelings. And I know that you guys here in Carpinteria are very involved in the advocacy. So, you know, it's schizophrenic, and we try to bring them in and help them have I guess, probably an environment that's conducive to them being successful and not being afraid to be out there. But we don't dodge any issues. We certainly spend time and talk to them with respect to mentoring and whatever else we can do to help them, you know, be able to just be able to cope with everything that's going on today.
So if I did a 5 cities tour, mm-hmm. at the end of the 5 days, would I say, yeah, I get it, it's the same? Or would I say, wow, that was, the Tuesday was so different from Thursday?
I think what you would find from a financial standpoint, or from a standpoint of looking at each affiliate, we try to make sure that we have healthy, high-functioning affiliates, so from a business point. But I think in terms of the programming that's done, as I go out to each affiliate, you will find that what they do is really try to look at their community and create programming that actually is conducive to the people in their community. So while we have some overarching programs that we certainly want, and a curriculum we want you to follow, we give you the latitude to really be creative and innovative, and to work on that program and work it into your curriculum the way that best meets the needs of your community.
And so annually, what we do in Girls Inc. Carpentria is we're surveying our parents and our girls to assess their needs so that we can meet them where they are, so that we can localize programming. But if you were to walk into 5 affiliates today, I think that you would find some common themes. And those themes really are based on what's been going on the last 2 years. And I think, Jessica, you can jump in right here, right now. Anxiety. We have seen a number of our girls experience more anxiety, more fear, and a lot of that has to do with our political climate.
Well, we're going to talk about anxiety when we get back, so you may not want to listen to the next segment because it's going to be full of anxiety. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafon's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafon and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a 4-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a 4-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Victoria Juarez, Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, of Veronica Escobedo, the Regional Director of Girls Inc., Jessica Wetzel, Program Director of, by the way, this is going to take so long to introduce every one of you, of Girls Inc.
Only use first names.
Yes, and Charlene Jackson of the National Organization. And I should also then introduce our engineer here, shouldn't I? He's looking for himself. So we're talking about anxiety, and it's not the Mel Brooks film we're talking about. And I guess one of the issues that, you know, we talk about bullying, and we will talk about bullying, and all kinds of things that are really pressing on these kids. First of all, to be a teen is difficult no matter what environment you're in. But if you're afraid your parents are not going to be home when you get home because ICE is going to pick them up, it must be really awful. And given the fact that we have so many Latina kids in this community, I how do you deal with that?
Well, first and foremost, we provide a safe space. We provide a safe space for our families and a safe space for our girls. We're very explicit about the rights of the families and the girls and the rights of immigrant children and what can and can't be done in a place like Girls Inc. So that they're assured that this is a safe space for them. But secondly, we really provide mentorship because a lot of the girls have questions, comments, concerns that they don't have an outlet for and maybe feel that they don't want to stress their parents out with, or they don't know how to speak about at home. And so a lot of that mentorship does surround girls sharing those anxieties and finding adults who can help them get context for that. And another piece of it is providing the girls with a voice. We have a mock election every year that we take part in. The past 2 years, it's been especially important for the girls to say, hey, I cast a vote. Maybe that vote just counts for the Girls Inc. affiliates nationwide, but I'm part of a bigger thing, and I can see how my vote counts now and can count eventually. We also provide a lot of different programs giving girls context for government, what it means to be in the government, what it means to vote for leaders and be part of a society in which you do have a voice. So I think I guess the biggest piece is giving a girls a voice, whether it be with mentors or giving them a voice in their community.
So basically what you're saying is you have a staff of like 3,500 people, and that's how you're able to provide all these services?
We have a staff of probably 19 mm-hmm. people, 8 full-time. The others are part-time, but we work hard every single day. People wear multiple hats. Yeah. We're constantly investing in our program staff by sending them through to Girls Inc. National and other programs locally so that they are trained and can provide these quality programs to the girls mm-hmm. that we serve.
What about volunteers and parents or both? Do they get involved in the actual, if a parent is a psychologist and his specialty is bullying, will you invite that parent in to talk, or you keep them separate?
We have about 25 volunteers annually that come in and provide direct service. Some of them are parents. Others are professionals in the community who come in and share their expertise with girls. But we also have over 50 community partners that we work with, from Ventura, Santa Paula, Fillmore, all the way up through Santa Barbara. And we know that they are experts in certain areas. So, for instance, we partner with CALM, the local organization, to come in and talk to girls and staff members about managing anxieties, reflective practice, thinking about how we address girls and their behavior in a way that is informed. And addressing their needs appropriately when it comes to mental health. So we know that we're not the experts on everything, and we know that it's super important to unite our families, our community, and other organizations locally to meet every need of the girls that we possibly can.
Charlene, when you hear something that's really neat that a particular group is doing, do you try to take that to scale it up to the national level? If someone's creative about something, do you try to use that best practice to?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna, absolutely. What my team does, like I said, there's 3 other Veronicas here, so we have 3 other regional directors, and we spend every week going over each of the affiliates because, as I said, even though there's some common themes, there's certainly some things that they're each doing differently or more innovatively, and we usually will work on, you know, whether they're challenges or opportunities and share them with the network. So we'll share them with our group such that each regional director has the information, and then take that information back out to the network to help others. And, you know, you just to piggyback on what they were saying about ICE and whether people are afraid. We literally had one of our affiliates where they had the largest ICE raid, and they lost about 20% of their girls, just because the girls were afraid to come. So we don't know that they all got picked up or anything, but we just know that they stopped coming because they were petrified. So one of the things that we did is we have an advocacy office in Washington, D.C., and so we reached out to them to try to get some assistance on how we might find out what has happened to the girls and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, and whether it's our affiliates who are doing things that are best practices or even other youth development organizations that are doing things that would make sense for our girls, we try to incorporate that such that people have the information. May not be right for your affiliate and you may not use it, but we try to make sure that we get the information out to them.
Yeah, and AHA, one of the sponsors of the show, is doing a lot of the same work that you're doing, where they're dealing with teens bullying, dealing with restorative justice, dealing with emotional intelligence, all issues that affect both boys and girls. So speaking of money, does the national organization raise money as well as the affiliates?
Yeah, we actually, because we don't serve girls at the national organization, and we raise a significant amount of money. As a matter of fact, right now we are in a partnership with Bechtel Foundation, where they actually, we presented something to them, our program and how we work and what we wanted to do in terms of growing the number of girls that we serve, particularly girls in underserved communities. And so they actually gave us a grant for $10 million with the condition that our own national board would match it, and we did. And so just about all of that money will be granted out to our affiliates. So right now, they would prepare an RFP and they apply for it like they would anywhere else. But we right now have 37 of our 82 affiliates who have applied and been awarded a grant, and we've given out about $7.5 million. And that's, again, to make sure that they're, you know, have a high-functioning, financially sound organizations, but also that make sure that they have the ability and the capacity to do the program for the number of girls, because right now we touch about 200,000 girls, where they may come in and they may do various projects or come in for a course or a workshop. But what we want to do is really serve girls comprehensively, and we serve about 50,000 girls comprehensively, and our goal is to double that by 2020. And so our affiliates are really the ones who have to make that happen.
And what does the word comprehensively mean?
Oh, well, we're going to let our program director answer that question.
So we're really intentional about the dosage. We know that in order to really make an impact in the life of a girl, we need her to have sustained exposure to Girls Inc. programming. And so the definition's changed a little bit over the years, but I believe now we're at about 50 hours a year of programming that we view as a comprehensive Girls Inc. experience, as long as it does include, you know, all the program areas that we're looking to hit: academic support, healthy lifestyles, and bold programming, getting girls into leadership and advocacy. So 50 hours of programming a year about is
minimum.
What we're looking for. Minimum. But we obviously want girls to come for longer in that, and most of our girls do. And we want them to come year after year and provide programming for them that's relevant every year.
You know, I Googled Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, and what the first thing that comes up is Girls Inc. of Carpinteria after school program or athletic program. You may want to have them look into that, because that's really the opposite of comprehensive. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
I saved it on my phone.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah.
All right. So you can talk.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, Improving Attitude, Creating Social Harmony, Bridging the Achievement Gap for Kids and Teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Veronica Juarez, Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, Jessica Wetzel, the Program Director, Veronica Escobedo, Regional Director of Girls Inc., and Charlene Jackson. She told me off the air that she really runs the national.
And,
without her, it would be...
It just would not happen.
It would not happen. So, we might as well just give her a new title, CEO, but I guess somebody else has that. But so, just let's go look at some of the details. So, how many kids do you serve in Carpinteria?
Wow. So, I think as a network, we're serving over 700 girls a year. I would say the bulk of them are from Carpinteria, mm-hmm. about 600. And we do that through campus-based programs and then our outreach programs as well.
Okay, and do you have transportations to get the kids there?
We do. We have a fleet of vans that picks up girls at school, but also takes them to summer camps throughout the summer and road trips throughout the school year and back and forth to various Girls Inc. activities all year round.
And we're looking to replace two of our vans, so... somebody's out there listening and you want to sponsor a van, please contact us.
By the way, between you and Santa Barbara, it looks like half the town is Girls Inc.
Right? That's right.
It's either a Giordano truck or your van. You have, what did you say, 16 or 18 people serving mm-hmm. 700 kids. They don't
18
all come
to 19,
at,
right?
They don't all come at once. So you have people doing certain things, or do you have also like an afternoon program that you can go to every day if you have nothing else to do? Is there like something that kids actually go to on a continuing basis?
Yeah, we have a center-based program, a center-based after-school program, where girls are transported from their schools to our after-school program that provides enrichment programming as well as academic support. We also have outreach programs where our staff goes into the local schools and provides Girls Inc. programming both after school and during the school day. And then we have some different programs that are not daily, but that girls participate in on a workshop basis on a cohort model. Mm-hmm. So they come to a program, take part for 5 years, but it goes at their pace and they can participate in workshops that are available throughout the month, the school year.
How do they get home?
Usually they're picked up by their family. Sometimes they're taken back by the bus. It just kind of depends on the program.
And what's the demographics? Is it representative of the community, or is there a particular?
Absolutely. It's actually representative of the school district. Mm-hmm. So 80% of the girls we serve are Latina. I would say 11% are Caucasian, mm-hmm. and then the remaining have listed other.
Multi-ethnic, age-wise,
what is this? It's from what to what in terms of age?
We serve four-year-olds.
Yeah, we serve girls who are in TK, which is transitional kindergarten, 4 years old, all the way up to 18. But now that we have several programs that have seen girls through high school graduation, we even have alums coming back for programming and for first jobs. So,
and do kids come? You know, kids today, we all have these cell phones, they have the internet, they have news. Do they come back and talk about, you know, things that are in the news, like Me Too? These are the things that are discussed, the real pressing social issues that particularly affect women?
Absolutely. And I would say Girls Inc. has been having those conversations with girls for decades, mainly because for every woman that's coming forward, there's a girl or more than one who's experienced sexual harassment, sexual assault, and some kind of sexual violence from either a peer or an adult. And so the girls are quite in tune with what's going on in the media nationally and politically. And so really, the Me Too movement and things like that have given us a tangible way to speak about these issues that girls are already facing, and frame it in the real world and frame it in a way that can help them cope both as youth and as adult women.
So do you have issues that typically are at Planned Parenthood? Do you talk about disease prevention? Do you talk about issues that some parents may push back on? What's your sort of policy regarding sex education?
I don't know that we have a policy regarding sex education, but our team does provide informed and in charge to sixth graders at the middle school annually. It's a 10-hour workshop, or maybe a 15-hour mm-hmm. workshop, right? Mm-hmm. And so certainly we are providing that type of information mm-hmm. that you've just stated. There isn't a lot of pushback. You know, maybe every few years we have one or two parents that come to us and say, you know, I don't want my child taking part in that. That's their right, obviously, mm-hmm. so they have the right to pull them out. But for the most part, I would say the school district and families are really supportive mm-hmm. when it comes to us implementing that type of programming.
We start that program pretty young, actually. We start with girls even as young as third grade in a program called Growing Up Body Basics, which gives the girls the power to talk about their bodies, to talk about the changes they may be facing, to ask questions early that potentially haven't come up at home yet. And with that program, we find that parents are often like, please have the conversation. I didn't know how to have it. Please talk to my girls about this or that. Please open up this line of communication between home and school and Girls Inc. and all of that. So we really try to approach it very young so that girls don't have any taboos, any real fear about having those conversations with trusted people, whether it be peers or adults.
One of the issues over the years with elementary education is that there were so few men teachers that boys and girls didn't get a sense of what men are all about. Are all your 18 employees, are they all women? And is there a need to have just to get a male perspective to these kids? Because males do exist in the real world.
So, yes, we do have an all-female team, and yes, we would be more than happy to have males on our team. They just don't apply. So for us, it's really about hiring the right person for the job, regardless of your gender, your color, your age. We need girls we need staff members that obviously have some youth development experience, but mostly are ready to create these safe and nurturing environments for the girls in the program. And staff members who can be mentors. That's a key piece to what we do. So it's hiring the right person for the job, regardless of a person's gender.
When you talk about mentoring, I taught for a number of years at City College, and there was this sort of, maybe it's just me, but I doubt it, where if you found somebody that was really hurting, you try to really get involved in their life because you want to help them. How far does mentoring go? Do you actually, you know, take this person, this kid, and just wrap your arms around them and just help them more than you should be doing or that you can do for that many kids?
I think we try to not approach it so much from the aspect of helping that person. I think sometimes people jump in and want to kind of save the day when oftentimes youth really only need someone to listen and to be there. And so I think when we train our staff and train our volunteers about mentorship, it's not about saving someone. It's not about jumping in and helping and seeing what you can do. It's about being there, hearing, listening, fully understanding, and then being able to provide that support. And you can't provide that support unless you're willing to put the time in and the trust in.
You know who you sound like? My wife, who always my wife is a therapist, and she said word for word what you said. She said, just stop it. You don't need to do that.
Just hold space. Just listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So could you give me any marital advice while you're at it?
Not my realm.
Oh, good. Okay. You're right. There are limits. There are boundaries here. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Victoria Juarez, the Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, Jessica Wetzel, Program Director, and Veronica Escobedo, Regional Director for the National Organization, and from the National Organization, Charlene Jackson. And I just read that AHA, one of the missions of AHA is to stop bullying. And we briefly mentioned bullying, but bullying seems to be really, from the President of the United States on down, a real issue today. And it's really become insidious because of the web. So it used to be if you had a black and blue marker on your arm, you could suspect bullying. But now it's sort of done electronically. I don't know, how do you, is that an issue that you really have to struggle with?
Definitely. Girls are faced with challenges from everywhere, and social media presents a really big one. And it's not only the bullying. A lot of it is coming from outside. It's the pictures they see, the comparisons they make, the advertising that's not labeled. So social media can be a really dangerous territory when it comes to their peers and that kind of thing, but also the messages they're getting from outside. So we definitely address that. But to think about peers on peers, we're also wanting to address the needs of the, quote, bully, right? So we want to look at girls and say, how can we provide something that makes a sisterhood here, right? Girls are socialized to compete, and they're socialized that way for many reasons. And so how do we make an environment where girls aren't competing based on outward appearances, they're not competing for any of these things that we do, and that they're then supporting each other. And hopefully that will leave our doors and continue when they go to school so they can advocate for each other and change those interactions a little bit so that they can be more positive and then trickle out from themselves.
The HAHA is using restorative justice, which seems to really work if it's done correctly, where you essentially explain to the perpetrator, if you will, the hurt and make that person realize what that behavior should change, which is really a more effective way of dealing with it as opposed to punishing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, being now taught in little schools to hopefully, the problem is the national discourse today is such that we're trying to teach these kids how to be pleasant around their friends, even if they have issues. And what goes on today in the news really makes it impossible to do that. So, if you look at the last 15 years, you know, and I could pick any 10, 15 years, the world has changed dramatically. I mean, it's changed dramatically for everyone, including girls and women. You've been involved 8 years, and you've been involved...
I've actually only been involved a year and a half.
Okay. So, but over the period that you've been involved, has the world changed so much that the programs have changed? I mean, is it always... Yes, go ahead.
Well, I think speaking for our national platform, there's key... The programming has remained actually very steady in terms of, a real clear focus on reproductive health. So you asked the question earlier, and we feel very strongly that girls need to know about their bodies in order to be safe in the world. We've always felt strongly about the STEM programming, also about the life skills. So our core programming has really remained very consistent. What has changed is now what's happening locally in communities, and so that now has influenced the work at the local level. So in Carpinteria, you know, might look very different than up in the Bay Area because we really are in tune, you know, with what's happening in with our families. And Victoria spoke about that in terms of hearing what our families need and have to say and really doing something with that. So would you all agree that our programming has been very focused?
It has. And, you know, what's changed for us locally and even nationally when we think about the Teen Advocacy Network is in the last 2 years, as a result of the election, there's been this real desire for us to advocate for girls at all levels. And so Girls Inc. National has increased the size of their policy team in D.C. They've brought together girls across the country, have flown them into D.C. to discuss legislation so that they can come back to the communities and advocate for. And we've been doing those things locally. So has there been a change? I think the one change I've seen in the last year and a half is our desire to really push through our advocacy platform so that we're making change on a greater level for all girls.
Well, I mentioned to you before the show that I noticed in one of your pieces of literature that Susan Cain is involved, and Susan and I were on the Board of Domestic Violence Solutions for a number of years back a while ago, and one of the things they talked about when we were being initiated was that in the 70s and 80s in Santa Barbara, domestic violence was ignored by the police, and if the police came to the door, they would essentially believe the guy. And then domestic violence had an educational program where now you're lucky to, you know, to be stay home if you're the guy, because they just grab the guy and take him away because they now learn that it's probably true. So have you been involved in any of these initiatives? Because, you know, violence, whether it's gun violence, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's bullying violence, that adds to the angst of these kids. Is that, you know, something that you're working on?
Yes, so the national office has taken strong positions around violence against women and so has really advocated to why we need to keep the safeguards that are in place that are in jeopardy, really, when we look at the current administration. But we've also taken positions that we perhaps wouldn't have done years ago. And to Victoria's point, you know, becoming real advocates for our girls, you know, we just released a position on zero tolerance when it comes to immigration. So this is the first time we take a position on that. So I feel that the climate is such that it's requiring all of us, both at the national level and locally, to do more for our girls.
And yeah, that's great, because people just have to speak up. Some of the things you see posted about silence is something that you could have seen in the 30s in Germany. And you know, one of the things that's really stressful to me is I remember watching Schindler's List, and there was a scene where a guard and a commandant were grabbing this little Jewish girl and putting her into the ovens, and then the next scene is their home with their own kids, and they were really, really nice. And I think of these ICE, you know, policemen, you know, grabbing these kids maybe from their mothers and then going home playing with their kids. You know, Hannah Arendt wrote about evil, and there's something going on in this world that's bringing out in many people the worst. And, you know, there's always there's hope if we have organizations like yours that are dealing with it right on the spot.
And so I'd actually like to comment on our Eureka program. And the fourth year, we send our girls to Washington, D.C. for a week. And before they go to Washington, D.C. to advocate on behalf of our communities and their families, they're working with the Eureka coordinator to learn about issues that are really important to them so that they can go, they can use their voice, and they could...
Explain what Eureka is.
Eureka is our five-year college-bound program. It targets girls the summer before they go into eighth grade and then follows them through 12th grade. And there are a number of great things that we do. We put them on a college campus. They go into externships. But most importantly, they go to Washington, D.C., and they go to advocate. So you spoke about earlier about one using their voice or one being silent. I mean, this is part of Girls Inc., who we are and what we do. It's girls learning about who they are, finding their voice, and finding a strong sense of self so that when the time comes, and, you know, we've said this multiple times, it could be, you know, in the kindergarten classroom, it could be in a college classroom, it, you know, it could be anywhere, that a girl is going to step up and she's going to use her voice to advocate for herself or her family, use her voice to defend somebody, but lead. Those things are important. And so that's, you know, the value to what we do. It's providing girls with these opportunities and experiences to do these things. So when the time comes, they're using their voice. You know, they're going in front of city council. They're going to the school board meeting. They're coming to Girls Inc. They're addressing our board. And they're saying these things are important to us. And this is the change we want to see.
Are there past Girls Inc. Participants that come back with stories about how you've helped?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, yeah, we have so many girls who come back to us, whether it is figuring out how to navigate a challenging roommate situation or speaking up at school, speaking up in their communities, whether they stay here or move away. So we have so many girls that come back and share about how their voice has been risen by their experiences in Girls Inc. And now this year, actually, in Eureka, we have two Eureka alums who graduated last year and are now working as group leaders in the program. So they came back from their summer from college, and they're sharing what they learned at Girls Inc., what they learned as freshmen in college, and bringing it back to those younger girls and saying, this is what I got out of it. I'm also going to provide you with an experience that's relevant to you. So it's been great seeing our alumna go on and do amazing things, but also come back and bring it back to the girls.
And we recently had Karina Jugla, an alum from Columbia, come back and address, you know, a room of 300 to talk about how she grew up on the Girls Inc. campus from kindergarten to 12th grade, and it was her second home for her. And it was Osa, who you met this morning when you walked through the doors, that really was her mentor and guided her. But she found her voice at Girls Inc., and she's gone on to do amazing, amazing things. And so she's one person, you know. Lisette are two and three, but there are so many more.
Yeah, and I don't know if you watch CNN, but there's a commentator on there, Simone, who's very vocal, but she's a Girls Inc. girl.
Who's this?
Simone Sanders. Simone Sanders.
And she's from Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah. Yeah, so that's Girls Inc. Omaha.
She's a Girls Inc. girl, so she's pretty vocal.
Yes. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be right back with our final episode.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro. where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Victoria Juarez, Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Carpinteria, Jessica Wetzel, Program Director, Veronica Escobedo, the Regional Director for Girls Inc., and Charlene Jackson from the National Organization. And so basically, what I've heard over the last 55 minutes is that you are the best not-for-profit in town, and that
yes,
you are going to solve all of the world's problems.
We're trying.
Now, the only thing left that you haven't discussed is, do you have the meaning of life by any chance? Because I've been looking for that. No, but seriously, fundraise? I mean, do you have events, anything special coming up?
So we do. Our operating budget is $1.2 million. We raise about $600,000 of that annually through events. We have three fundraisers. We have a luncheon. We have a gala. Of course, we're collecting sponsorship through that, and then we're also making an ask at each event. We raise money through foundations, but also individual gifts. And people are more than welcome to come onto our campus to take a tour, to learn more about our programs so that we can engage them in some type of way. But we also raise money through one-on-ones where we take people out, we sit down, and we ask them to make an investment in our girls and in our community. This fiscal year, we'll be launching on our first major gifts campaign. We've come up with a detailed plan, and we're hoping to be really successful.
And you say there were $600,000 from these events. Where's the other $600,000 come from?
So $600,000 from fundraising, but we also have a fee-for-service program. We have contracts through the county, through the city, and then we own our campus, our territory, so we lease it out to a private school. We're on a 10-year lease right now, 10 months out of the year, and so that's another source of revenue. One of the reasons we were able to get through the economic recession in 2008, as well as Girls Inc. Santa Barbara, is because both of us had a diverse funding stream, so we weren't only reliant on the government, but again, fee-for-service, events, foundations, individual gifts, and then rentals.
And if you don't have money, there are other ways to support
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can come in, volunteer in our programs, provide a workshop. There's always something to do.
And the community that you serve is everything from Carpinteria down through Ventura. So you serve all of Ventura as well?
Well, we serve Oxnard and Santa Paula in Ventura County.
Okay. That's great. And the way to get in touch with you, you have a very robust website.
We do.
Can you donate money on the website?
You can donate. Go to the Support Us tab, and there's a big red donate button. So.
And is there on the website information about these events?
There's information about events, all of our programs, our board, our staff members. Absolutely.
Great. Well, you know, I'm thinking now, this is such a good program, maybe I should have another kid.
And send your kid to Girls Inc.
I have two boys, but I have grandchildren, so I wonder if that, all three girls.
Hey.
So that's why I have an interest now. I have all three
girl grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. So become strong, smart, and bold.
Yeah. Is that the anyway, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for being here. Everyone, you've been listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll be back next week. Yeah.